Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas has styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
This episode is brought to you by Marshalls, where you never have to compromise between quality and price. The buyers of Marshalls hustle hard, working to bring you great deals on brand name and designer pieces. Because Marshalls believes everyone deserves access to the good stuff. Visit a Marshalls store near you or shop online at marshalls.com.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans. Send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th. And never miss a meme or milestone. All protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at WhatsApp.com.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
What's the reason, Duck?
It's here.
With your hosts.
All these guys.
Dan Wiederer.
The Bears don't have the readiness to go all in a championship or bust year.
And Mark Grody.
There's a certain amount of urgency to this season for the Bears. And I think the biggest urgency is make sure you have a quarterback in Caleb Williams.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into episode 390 of the Take the North podcast, along with Dan Wiederer of The Athletic. I'm Mark Grody of The Score. What do you think about that, Dan? Fairly insignificant, 390. It's not 400, it's 390.
Well, it means we're approaching 400, which means 400 is probably going to occur here in the month of October. So we better start planning maybe a bonanza episode, episode 400. You better get all the friends and guests that have ever appeared on Take the North, everyone from, say, a Caitlin Sharkey to an Allen Robinson. They better all be here for episode 400 here.
I love it. We're just going to have a big party. Maybe we'll rent a place out. Maybe we'll do it on remote. I think that would be a great idea. Or we just do it like an old school 80s sitcom where we just play like the best of. Of stuff that has occurred. And of course, we'd have to have one of our founding fathers, that being David Haw, as a part of it in some way, shape, or form. Maybe that is the solution. Maybe episode 400 is you, me, and Haw kicking it old school.
Or maybe it's just David Haw doing the post game of Bears Bengals, you know, and he just does the whole thing by himself. We turn it over to him.
Yeah, that would be up. You know what? The thing about David Haw is that he would do it. See him not do something in this town as far as sports is concerned, doing the Cubs pre and post game, doing the Mully and Haw show, doing the big pro football show. I mean, the guy does it all.
He's got hit and run. He's got the big
hit pro run.
Football show. He's got it all.
No. I'm sorry. I didn't even mention the baseball inside the clubhouse. It's a very different show. Hit and run.
I meant to say, he's got inside the clubhouse.
Yeah, yes. ITC, ladies and gentlemen. But this is TTN. You come here for Chicago Bears talk, and we are happy to deliver it as we're a few days away now from the mighty rematch, the biggest rematch ever. That is the Bears and Washington, which will be on Monday night. We all know what happened last year. Catastrophe, sports catastrophe, an 18-15 loss on Jaden Daniels' 52-yard pass to Noah Brown, which just happened to be a Hail Mary pass. So a lot of that has been the theme of the week. Some of it will pop up throughout the podcast. And I will say this, Dan, one thing before we get into some injury stuff. I am looking forward to getting through this. And there has been lots of talk about it. You wrote an incredible article about Tyreek Stevenson in The Athletic. I could tell being on The Score today that people are a little exhausted by it. And I get it. I'm ready to move on. And I think the Bears probably will be too. Let's just hope for Tyreek Stevenson's case, it is indeed just a decent game. Doesn't even have to be special. It'd be great if there was some sort of fairy tale ending where he gets the pick six. Just play like you've been playing the last couple of games is what Tyreek Stevenson needs, period.
Yeah, no, yeah. From his standpoint, this is all about just dialing into what coaches have asked him to dial into for several years and just focus on each moment of each drive and then hope that the end result bears itself out. You have felt a little bit of resistance inside the Bears locker room this week in regards to just not wanting to go back down that ugly road to revisit that game from 11 and a half months ago. But there's also a lightness in the locker room this week, Grody, that stems from the fact that they have gone three straight weeks without losing, a two-game winning streak and the bye week mixed in there. And I had a short conversation with Cole Kmet on Wednesday just about like that blocked kick from Josh Blackwell in Las Vegas was not just about that afternoon. It was about lightening the mood for the Bears for the last 2 weeks. That's significant. The tension has not been there. They feel like they were able to escape with a victory in a game that they didn't play well in, and it's bought them a little bit of breathing room, right? And then so now you've got to go into this very bright lights, big stage game against the Commanders on Monday Night Football, and you got to find a way to put your best foot forward.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to describe the locker room. And look, there's been loose moments through the years, even when they're losing. But yeah, you could tell, especially coming off the bye. I mean, they've always had that basketball hoop up in the locker room, but it was seriously in effect this week, and they were having fun and all that. Let's hope that loose energy equals the Bears getting over 500, because if they do, it's really big at this point in the season, considering how badly they started this year.
Yeah, and you want to be competitive against legitimate playoff contenders. And this is an opportunity to be that. We'll get to our predictions later in this episode. You and I both have some things to stand 10 toes down on and try to figure out where this game's going to go. But I think the Bears understand what this opportunity is, particularly with the audience that they're going to have on Monday night, with the whole football world looking to see whether this is truly a different team than 2024, or whether they're going to be victimized by some of the same sort of sloppiness and carelessness and blunders that obviously cost them a year ago in that game in Washington, which was Tyreek Stevenson. It was Doug Kramer. It was an offense that didn't show up for three quarters. And so there's a lot to kind of get better at as they go back to play an opponent that's really, really good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Caleb's numbers, and we'll get to this because we're going to do Jaden versus Caleb, but his numbers were not good in that game, but he did have a good final drive, and Roschon Johnson with a touchdown at the end that everybody thought should have sealed the victory for them. But we'll delve into that a little bit more deeply here in a second. I am looking right now, Dan, as we're doing this podcast on a Thursday, and the Bears did not practice on Thursday, no media availability whatsoever, and there is an injury report in this awkward week. And just to be clear, again, the Bears did not practice, so participation is an estimation. So that is what you need to know as a backdrop as we go through this and discuss this injury report for the Bears. First, I'm just going to list, Dan, the did not practice guys, and we'll talk about them. Jaquan Brisker did not practice due to a quad injury. Grady Jarrett, who has had that knee thing going on since the beginning of the season, essentially, did not practice. Kyle Manungai, a thigh injury, did not practice. And Darnell Wright, elbow, did not practice. Again, all estimates. Let's talk about those guys. Dan, which one of those guys there are you most concerned about in terms of actually missing the game and the Bears missing that person?
58. I think Darnell Wright, my sense is that he is going to need a little bit more time to heal from that elbow injury. So as we've talked about previously, that could leave the Bears walking into Northwest Stadium on Monday night with Theo Benedict as their starting left tackle and Ozzie Trapillo as their starting right tackle. That's a tall ask for both of those guys to step up to that moment. So we'll see what happens with Darnell Wright as the week goes along. Grady Jarrett, I'm eager to see on Friday. Look, he's a veteran who's up there a little bit more in years, and you want to take care of him when he's coming back from an injury. So if he's able to sort of, you know, maybe be limited for the next 2 days, now you get an opportunity to play on Monday night. I think for a guy who's been very durable throughout the duration of his career, you want to keep close eyes on whether he still has that durability at this stage in his first year in Chicago. And we'll see which direction that goes. And then obviously, as you mentioned, Brisker and Manungai also on that list.
Yeah. And when it comes to Brisker, everybody is going to ask, is it what happened? Is it concussion? No, it is a quad injury. So, and I agree with you. I'm a little bit skeptical about Grady Jarrett, but we shall see. We shall see. And he has popped up before as a DNP on the practice report and then ended up playing. So there is some promise in that regard. I don't have a great feeling about him, but we shall see as the week goes on when they actually practice and then give us the injury report. So that's what we could tell you about the guys that did not practice. Kyler Gordon is as listed as limited, as is Jonah Jackson and Colston Loveland. You know, we talked to Kyler Gordon and Colston Loveland. Both of those guys said that they would play. So I'm going to continue to stick with their word. And I know you can't always depend on the word of the player, but Ben Johnson spoke as if Kyler Gordon would be playing as well. I guess there's no reason to list him as full participant when the guy hasn't played at all yet this year.
Arrows pointing that direction. You also visited with Colston at his locker the other day and were able to get him to express his belief that he's going to be in line to play and seeing Jonah Jackson.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
After the practice that they did hold on Wednesday at Halas Hall and in the locker room, I would imagine that he would be okay to go on Monday night as well. So no worries there. And then obviously I think you'll probably get into the full guys here in a moment, which has two names that are pretty encouraging to see with the full next to their designation.
I got to tell you, I mean, it's good to see all these names, but I know what you mean. Yeah, so Austin Booker, as we told you, he's the 21-day window is open. He's not going to play. TJ Edwards appears as a full participant. Cairo Santos, who there has been some concern about this week, appears as a full participant, but that TJ Edwards part is huge, is massive. Like if you get Kyler Gordon and TJ Edwards back for this game, I'm not saying your defense is fixed and you're locked and loaded, but it's a whole hell of a lot better with those two guys.
Listen, like that's a big deal. And we're going to talk a little bit later about the matchup here and what the Bears need to do to kind of neutralize some of the strengths that the Commanders have. TJ Edwards and Kyler Gordon are going to be a big part of trying to make this Bears defense stronger. And they should have an opportunity to do so coming up this Monday night. And it's going to be great to see them back out there and to also see kind of what Dennis Allen's vision is for, particularly with Kyler Gordon, for using him in ways that can make the defense a little bit better.
Absolutely.
Your team, adjective, used to describe an individual whose spirit is unyielding, unconstrained, one who navigates life on their own terms, effortlessly. They do not always show up on time, but when they arrive, you notice an individual confident in their contradictions. They know the rules, but behave as if they do not exist. New team, the new fragrance by Miu Miu. Defined by you.
Upgrade your laundry routine with a durable and reliable Maytag laundry pair at Lowe's. Like the new Maytag washer and dryer with performance-enhanced stain-fighting power designed to cut through serious dirt and grime. And what's great is this laundry pair is in stock and ready for delivery when you need it the most. Don't miss out. Shop Maytag in-store or online today at Lowe's.
Imagine fast hydration combined with balanced energy, perfectly flavored with zero artificial sweeteners. Introducing Liquid IV's new Energy Multiplier Sugar-Free. Unlike other energy drinks, you know, the ones that make you feel like you're glitching, it's made with natural caffeine and electrolytes, so you get the boost without the burnout. Liquid IV's new Energy Multiplier Sugar-Free Hydrating Energy. Tap the banner to learn more.
Let's move on now to our second segment, our Take the North game spotlight. And Dan, what do you say we zero in on take two, ladies and gentlemen, take two of Caleb Williams versus Jaden Daniels, the 1 and 2 drafted quarterbacks in 2024. Caleb was taken first. Jaden Daniels was taken second in the first head-to-head matchup. We know Washington wins the game over the Bears 18-15. In that game, Caleb Williams, 10 of 24, 131 yards, 0 and 0, as in 0 touchdowns, 0 picks, did get the team in position at the end, and it was impressive to get Roschon Johnson where he was able to get that touchdown, and the Bears took the lead and then lost the lead. Jaden Daniels on the other side, 21 of 38, 326 and a TD, and of course the 52-yard Hail Mary to Noah Brown. There is no doubt about it. Who won year one, round one goes to Jaden Daniels for sure. So far this year, you could probably say that Caleb, because he's played in all of the games, unlike Jaden Daniels, has a slight edge as they get rolling this year, but it's not by much.
Grody, you and I in this sports media world that we inhabit sort of live this existence amongst a sort of knee-jerk instinct from people in sports media, and everybody wanted to sort of close the book on 2024 with a hard and fast Sharpie verdict that Jaden Daniels is the better quarterback. I think it's been very, very clear over the years that stories like these need years to fully write, and there's a lot of chapters ahead for these two quarterbacks. And I think there's a sense, at least this week, that look, like these guys are going to be facing off with each other for the second consecutive year, and that theoretically they're going to play each other many, many more times over the years. And so that there's a lot more to be written about this story. From Caleb Williams' standpoint, you're playing a little bit of catch up. You did not win the Offensive Rookie of the Year award like Jaden Daniels did. You did not take your team into the playoffs like Jaden Daniels did. You did not win multiple playoff games like Jaden Daniels did. And so there is some catch-up here that needs to be done. But there also needs to be an understanding of you need to run your own race, and you need to be kind of where your feet are now and working on your own development and your own improvement and see where it takes you. It's going to be fascinating to watch this matchup on Monday, because both these quarterbacks have a lot going for them right now. Jaden Daniels comes back off the injury after missing a couple starts, and he leads the Commanders to 27 consecutive points in their win over the Chargers the other day on Sunday. Yeah. A nice return to action, you know, and Caleb, obviously, as we know, before the bye, led a game winning drive in Las Vegas to help the Bears get that all important second victory. So the stage is set, and you know, when stages like this are set, that the lights turn even brighter, and that the conversation on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday of next week is going to be amplified because of what this game means for these two quarterbacks, for these two teams on this particular stage.
100%. And just looking through the game logs for Washington, you're right. I mean, and the Chargers are a good team. They come back against the Chargers. Jaden Daniels, 15 of 26, 231, a TD, and no picks. It's as good as he looked so far this year. As Dan alluded to, he missed the two previous games to that. Marcus Mariota was the quarterback in their loss to Atlanta in week 4, and then in week 3, they like the Bears beat Las Vegas 41-24. That was a Mariota game as well. So you can draw your conclusions from that. They did lose to the Packers in week two on Jaden Daniels' watch when he looked particularly disappointing, 24 of 42, 200 yards and a couple of TDs, and a loss to Green Bay. And they also beat the New York Giants 21-6. And in that game, that was their first game of the year, Jaden Daniels, 19 of 30, 233 yards and a TD. So you could see he hasn't quite caught up with what he was doing last year. He's so dangerous too, Dan. I don't know, maybe it was you that asked the question of Ben Johnson during the presser about Jaden Daniels' ability to run the ball. I mean, we talk, his passing is clutch. It's been excellent, but he's also elusive as hell, and he will have to be watched very closely by the Bears defense.
Credit where credit is due. That was Patrick Finley that asked that question from the Sun-Times.
Nice job, but Finley.
It is notable, right, that you have a quarterback that is multidimensional and can put some strain on you, and that you're going to have to kind of find some schematic answers for to make sure that he doesn't beat you in two different ways. His accuracy is underrated, and Ben Johnson highlighted that earlier in the week, but you also have to be very, very cognizant of who he is as a runner and how that kind of can shape games. And so, look, like we'll see what that all looks like. You saw a quarterback in 2024 who was not scared of game on the line moments in Jaden Daniels. Caleb Williams also not scared of such moments. And so it'll be really interesting, Grody, if Monday night becomes a very, very close game in the final stages of the fourth quarter, and then watching those quarterbacks sort of operate there. I've said a couple times this week that lost in the chaos of that Hail Mary loss to the Commanders last year is how putrid the Chicago Bears offense was in Washington last year. 90 yards in the first half of that game, 6 first downs in the first half of that game. Caleb Williams had 3 completions for 33 yards at halftime. His passer rating was below 55 at that point. And you're just talking about the situation where Caleb got a lot of credit for leading those two fourth quarter drives. And we can get into that a little more in a moment, but he was abysmal. He was abysmal. And yeah. I think that there was this week some reflection from Caleb Williams, not just on, you know, kind of the erratic play in that game, but his return home, right, to the DC area and playing in front of family and friends and playing on TVs that family and friends had on in that area. And Caleb talking a little bit about the sting that lingers from that loss. Here's a little bit of Caleb Williams from Wednesday afternoon on that very topic.
Still staying. Obviously, you don't want to lose, especially in that fashion of a Hail Mary. So does it bother me? I'm not going to speak for everybody else. Does it bother me? Yeah, in the sense of, you know, I want to go out there and I want to win every single game that I got. And I know that's not going to happen. So, you know, being able to, you know, orchestrate, you know, this game, orchestrate this week, you know, have the guys focus on what we need to focus on, I think is where I'm at, and not necessarily going down the rabbit hole of you know, the revenge title or anything like that. You know, I think it's being able to focus on us. This team's different than last year. The coaching obviously is different. Every, you know, a bunch of things are different. So being able to focus on us and be able to lead these guys the way that, you know, they need to be led, and be able to go out there and focus on what we need to focus on to be able to go win the game at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, he had 10 completions last year in the game. So yeah, the sting was real. And yeah, I get it. Like, going home, that's emotional. Do you remember who had a huge touchdown in that game, Dan?
For the Bears? Which team? For the Bears?
For the Bears. Yeah, I'm sorry. For the Bears. Yeah. Yeah.
I know there was a big throw down the left sideline coming our way in the press box to DJ Moore that set him up for a touchdown. I know they didn't score a touchdown on the handoff to Doug Kramer. I'm picturing a pass into the back of the end zone to a receiver. Help me out.
All right. How about this? DeAndre Swift had a 56.
Oh yeah, no, the DeAndre Swift touchdown, the long touchdown run is what awoke the Bears offense at the end of the third quarter. Vividly remember that. There were like two or three plays left in the third quarter. He got loose down the left sideline, and that was the play that awoke the Bears and got them back in a football game that they had no business being in. The defense kept them in that game, which is so ironic given how it ended and how the defense lost them that football game. But yeah, that was that DeAndre Swift run that was like, okay, now you've got the settle down moment that allowed everybody to kind of realize that the game was still within reach.
Yeah. And it's like, once you get to that point, then it was like, you may as well win it. Then an entire net game and saga broke out from that. So what did you think about what Caleb was saying right there, Dan? Anything jump out to you in terms of the going back home or reminiscing about last year's game?
I mean, I appreciate the acknowledgement of it, that just kind of that recognition of the sting and recognition of the human element to this. I think so often we try to turn these guys into robots and they try to turn themselves into robots. And you have to realize that there are things that come with games like this. And this week's going to be very different because you do have a team that, as much as they want to put on the blinders and the earmuffs, they have an understanding that there's a little bit of pressure attached to this game, that they have to stand up and respond. Otherwise, there's going to be a lot of chatter about 2024 that lingers. And so I think Caleb's aware of that. The key is kind of channeling your focus and your emotions in the right way to not try to do too much to make up for certain things that have happened in the past. But I'm appreciative that he's at least willing to sound it out, you know, and go through some of that with us.
Before we move on to our next segment, which will be three things to watch from Dan for the Monday night game, just a note here, because we're talking about the Bears injury report. According to the Washington Commanders injury report, Terry McLaurin, the one we call scary, did not practice for the Commanders. He has missed last played in week 3. So he's missed the last couple of games for Washington, one game which they won, one game which they lost. So we'll continue to monitor that. Obviously, he's kind of a survivor of that program, man. I mean, a lot of people are different over the last 4 or 5 years from Washington, including Montez Sweat being on the Chicago Bears. But scary Terry McLaurin. Lauren officially did not practice, so we will monitor that. Dan, why don't we move on to our third segment, three things to watch for the Monday night game by Dan Weeder. Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Weeder.
Dan. Okay, number one on our things to watch on Monday night, Bears Commanders, is the haunted house. We've touched on this today. We've touched on it earlier in the week. The Bears are returning to a place where those who experienced that last year are going to feel it when they walk into the building. There's going to be sort of a creepy feeling of, oh God, I can't believe we're back here at the scene of the crime, right? Like, it's just not going to be a pleasant feeling. And now, for those who were here, again, there's a lot of players that are new, a lot of coaches that are new this year that don't need to worry about that, don't need to spend any energy or reflection on it whatsoever. But for those who were a part of it, I think there is a little bit, Grody, of some psychological kind of healing that needs to occur really quickly during pregame, right? Of just being like, all right, let's get out here and play football. Let's get past just being in this place. And I do think that obviously high-trained professional athletes are better at doing that than folks like you and I might be if put in the same circumstance. But it's a thing. It's still a real thing for those players, Tyreek Stevenson being one of those players. Be interested to hear what you have to say. And then we'll listen to a little bit of new audio from this week from Tyreek Stevenson as well.
Yeah, the only thing that I would say about it in terms of the people that weren't here, and that includes most of the coaching staff as well. I know they weren't here, but this thing was pop culture. This happened, and everybody and every single player in the NFL watched this on their phones. Every coach saw it and put their palm on their forehead. There were probably GMs laughing. I mean, this was like so big that I'm not saying I'm like mad at any player for downplaying or say, oh, that wasn't on me. No, you all saw it and you all had an opinion on it. And there's no way that it hasn't been in the back of players' minds.
For something that I was kind of just digging up some past detail from that game on, I went through the post-game press conference of Matt Eberflus and both the Sunday night of the game and the Monday afternoon after the game. And it's almost dumbfounding to kind of rehash it. Not only the way that they lost, the decisions that led to them losing, the errors that they made to lose, but their inability to kind of own it properly in the immediate aftermath, those 72 hours after that occurred, I think is part of the reason that season unraveled the way it did. It's just the ownership part of that day was tough to come by, right? And so that's a big deal for those that were here. Again, many have left, many are new that have arrived here, and we'll see where it goes. But we know the guy wearing the number 29 jersey knows what this game is about. We talked at length on this week's previous episode about Tyreek Stevenson. Well, Tyreek Stevenson met the media horde on Wednesday, I guess it was, at Hallis Hall, and talked a little bit about this return and expanding a little bit on some of the things that we've previously talked about. But here's a handful of questions and answers between the media and Tyreek Stevenson on Wednesday that kind of sets the stage for his own personal individual return on Monday night.
That's not my podcast. This still hurts because I'm a football player. And the last thing I want to do is have a play that's not so good and my name be memorable. You know, on top of all the good things I did, you could overshadow that. But just use it as motivation to come out and stay focused on all tasks and definitely learn to wait till the clock hit 00. So just use that as a learning curve to mature and be the cornerback that this team needs.
What was it like going through that?
Harsh, you know, it hurt my feelings, and the best thing, that's the best way I can explain it, just hurt my feelings, just, you know, being a football player and having one of those mistakes that's going to linger around, even when my son grew up, you know, got to explain that to him, so definitely hurt, but just use it as fuel.
Terry, knowing that how fans react, are going to be trying to get at you this weekend, how do you mentally prepare yourself just for whatever you might face from the crowd in Washington?
By remembering that it's 10 guys that I've been working with all week to prepare for this game, and I'm the only 10 guys I got to answer to.
Ben would say that by nature of your position as a quarterback, you have to have a short memory just play to play. Would that apply in this case as well?
Most definitely. Going back into a hostile environment, they're going to do their best job to rattle me as much as I can. But, you know, like I was saying earlier, the best thing I can do is come out here and show these 10 guys I'm locked in, and, you know, it's time to go.
Tariq, it happened, you know, almost a year ago. But, you know, with the benefit of hindsight, do you think you handled it the right way in the moment?
As far as what? Afterwards?
Yeah.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I'm a man, and I stand on integrity. And the best thing I can do is go address it and let the guys, you know, in the world know that, you know, that's not who I am, but that's who I showed. And the only thing I could do from now on is just show that my actions have changed so I can become a better man and a better football player on the field.
I got a couple things here for Tyreek Stevenson. Good choice of cut right there, Dan. Good stuff. We probably talked about this a little bit in our last episode. I know I talked about it on the score, but, you know, going forward now and every game you play in, you got to not let fans and opposing players antagonize you, because he is susceptible to that. He's still like, it's not like he's cured and everything is fine. He's still got to focus his ass off. So I think that's a huge part, not just this game, but every single week. Don't let other players get in your heads, because he does allow for that to happen.
There's two things that I would add to that. And one is this idea that the apologies are great, right? And you apologize to some players on the bus on the way out of the game there. You apologize to the entire team the next day. You've apologized for probably 10 months since in various ways, shapes, and forms. But it's the actions that your teammates really want to see, right? And they want to see that you're making efforts to change who you are and who you've been. And I give Tyreek a lot of credit for attacking that the way he has. Look, like, I think there was a healing process that he had to get through, which took a little bit longer than he probably wanted. But then comes the maturation process, the ability to show growth. And it's what you're talking about. It's can you focus? Can you avoid the traps that are set for you on every play of every drive, right? Like to be susceptible to being antagonized, to be susceptible to letting your emotions get the better of you. And so I think Tyreek understands the gravity of that error better now than he did probably in the moment. And he's made...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Great efforts in being able to kind of attack that. Look, like I said this to somebody earlier today, Grody, I said that infamy is this thing that you have to wear on your shoulders, and it weighs about 50,000 pounds, and it's got like sharp knives in it too, right? And so like infamy is not an easy thing to deal with. And so you're 24 years old when you kind of get that infamy label. It's a lot. It's a lot. Like, Grody, like, think of the dumbest thing you did when you were 24 years old. You don't have to say it out loud here on the podcast, but then imagine if that dumb thing that you did when you were 24 was caught by every camera for a national television audience and then subject to YouTube ridicule and social media derision for the rest of your life, right? Like, how do you deal with that? And Tyreek's had to kind of navigate that journey on his own. And I think he's been successful to this point, but to your point, like, there is no destination that says you're cured, you've arrived. It's a daily thing that will play out and for every game that he plays for the rest of his NFL career.
I'm just glad there wasn't social media when I was in college. You ever think about that, Dan? How lucky
God, do I every day.
Like, there's already enough regrettable pictures of me at parties and drinking and doing like weird things, like just on good old fashioned, got to take it to the OSCOs to get it developed pictures. Like, I still like around my place, sometimes a picture will pop, like, oh my God, that's me and so-and-so and so. God, if there was Instagram or Facebook back then, and it was because we would have documented it. When you're 20, you think that shit's funny, and then it's not so funny.
I said to a college friend of mine a year ago, you know, emails, right, Grody? That's another thing, right? Like, you used to send emails, you know, and I said to one of my friends, I said, I would pay $1,000 to look at some of the emails that we sent each other in college. And his response, which made me laugh out loud, was, I would pay $50,000 to make sure those emails were cleared from every server that ever existed. I said, good point. Fair enough. Let's leave that where it is and move on. But that's what we're talking about, right? And so, look, like, again, we talked about it earlier in the week. When you're young, you don't realize how young and stupid you are. And these guys in the NFL are young. And Tyreek Stevenson's on a journey right now to try to grow up, to try to mature, to try to make the best of his professional career. And I appreciate that about him. With the story I wrote at The Athletic that published earlier this week, the one thing that I've been really satisfied with is seeing some of the comments on social media and on The Athletic comment site of people that feel like they have a better understanding of the human side of Tyreek Stevenson.
Great.
It's like, for you and I that go in the locker room, we kind of have this very unique experience of being able to know these guys as human beings. And when we can pass some of that along to an audience that then gets it, I think it's pretty cool. And that, like, that's what's been kind of most fulfilling, of seeing some of the reaction of Tyreek kind of opening a vein and being honest about that stuff, and then seeing a fan base and an audience react accordingly.
Doug. Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Listening to this podcast? Smart move. Being financially savvy? Smart move. Another smart move? Having State Farm help you create a competitive price when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling. Just another way to save with a personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
When it comes to what your family eats and drinks, you know your choices matter. You're the expert because you know what fits your life. And getting it right starts with good information. That's why America's beverage companies are sharing more information about our ingredients at goodtoknowfacts.org. No spin, no judgments, just the facts straight from the experts for more than 140 beverage ingredients. Visit goodtoknowfacts.org.
Three things to watch is what we're doing right now. So that was the haunted house, basically, the horrors of last year. What else do you have on your three things to watch? Number two.
All right, this is important. Number two is run defense, okay? Like, this is much less serious. It's much less deep. This is whether the Bears, with a group of 11 guys on defense, can slow down a Commanders offense that's leading the NFL in rushing right now. They've got a rookie in Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, who's averaging 6.6 yards per carry. The Bears are ranked 32nd in yards per attempt against, 31st in rushing yards allowed per game. They've got to figure out a way to shore up their run defense, Grody, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's not hard. We heard Ben Johnson talk earlier this week about some quick fixes being the ability to shed blocks on all three levels, up front, linebackers, back end, the ability to tackle in space. make some fundamental corrections, try to keep this game in front of you, and make sure that some of those big chunk runs that they've been susceptible to don't happen regularly throughout this game Monday night.
Yep, it's been nonstop, really, going back to last year with the explosive runs. Keep the turnovers coming. Keep them pumping. I mean, I like that. Like, if that's, you know, we always talk about identity for the Bears. Maybe it's forcing turnovers. Maybe they need to bring the turnover bucket back and throw it on the sidelines. And then slowly, when nobody's watching and the turnovers have stopped, they take the turnover bucket away.
The magical disappearing of Sean Desai's turnover bucket. What a time that was back in the day. You're right. You're right about that.
That did happen because I was working sidelines then, and I didn't actually see it leave. But of course, we'd make a big deal out of it on Bears radio. And I was like, oh, where is that bucket? It'd been like 2 weeks without a turnover. Things were going poorly. And Sean Desai all of a sudden didn't look like a genius. And that bucket was gone.
It was in the back of a garbage truck somewhere. And that was the last we saw of the fateful turnover bucket.
But you're right. You're right. I mean, the run defense must get better. Dennis Allen, I hope, has looked to solve that problem. I imagine he's taking it a lot more seriously than we even know he is, because we all know that any defense worth its soul, at the very least, must stop the run. What is number three, Dan?
Number three is a little quality known as belief. And this is our entry point to figure out what that win in Las Vegas actually meant to the Chicago Bears, what it signified. Can it carry forward with them? I think there's a sense inside the building, Grody, you hear it from players and the coach, which we'll hear from the coach here on this episode here in a minute, that they feel like the ability to grind out a sloppy performance into a win in Las Vegas is one of those steps that a team that's trying to become a winning football team needs to take. And so I think there's a, full embrace of what happened in Las Vegas with the result it got. We talked earlier in the show about just kind of the lightness it's brought back to the locker room and the ability to understand, okay, like, we can get it done even when we don't play well. And so that's very important. And so there's a psychological boost to that a little bit. Ben Johnson has mentioned it a couple times. I followed up with him on either Tuesday or Wednesday about this concept of what this Vegas win could signify for this team. Here's Ben Johnson telling you what he thinks he saw in that game.
I mean, it's something that we've talked about a lot of is just the belief in each other, the belief that when the game's close, in the fourth quarter, that we'll find a way to come out on top. This league is full of one score games. It's the way it's designed. You know, there's a lot of parity. It's 5 weeks in and we have no undefeated teams, you know, any given Sunday, that's a true mantra. And, I think it's just the belief that if it's closer in the fourth quarter, we have a number of really good playmakers on this team that we can find a way. That's one. And then the other one is there's a million ways you can win games in this league. I mean, even watching some of the games on Sunday, there's a lot of bad football still being played early in the season here. And, you look at, we needed special teams to come out on top last week. We needed defense to come through with all those turnovers, or else we don't come out on top last week. We needed offense, despite how rocky it was in the first half, to find a little bit of a groove there in the second half and score 16 points on four possessions. And so I think it's just each week's different, but you're never out of it. Not in this league. And I think you can score points in a hurry, which is always exciting.
Yeah, that was very good from Ben Johnson. I do get the feeling he was saying, kind of in his mind, saying the right thing to say about that win last week, because he's basically been saying since the day after that loss, I know maybe not in the heat of the moment, or that win, I'm sorry, that the offense kind of sucks. Still needs to be fixed. And even said it at the beginning of this week that it's a work in progress and the screen game is terrible. And they're allowing the defense to jump into their offensive line gaps. I mean, it's like, I think he understands it, but he reluctantly said, yeah, sometimes in the NFL you got to win like that. And a lot of teams kind of suck right now.
Right. And there's definite aggravation with the sloppiness of the performance, but there's great relief in the ability to turn it into a triumph at the end with, as he said, playmakers across all three phases that can help you win a football game. We saw that. And then just trying to win a football game in a new way. I think that's important for a team to go through again. Like, that snowball can only get rolling if you back up a performance like that with several performances like that against better opponents. And that's what Monday offers them the opportunity to do. But the other thing I'd say about what we just listened to from Ben Johnson is how cool is it, Grody, to have a head coach that can just talk to you in that tone, with that eloquence, with that ability to make a point where you're just like, yeah, this is an interesting conversation, rather than we got to stick together and fight and, you know, keep it together. And you just feel better about the messaging from the front of the room. And if we're feeling better about it, I'd imagine the 53 plus 16 in the locker room are feeling better about it. And they, you know, feel that resonation of a coach who understands, okay, like this is going to happen in different ways in different weeks. And let's figure out how we can take that specific game and come out on top.
Yeah. And I mean, that was reflected in some of DJ Moore's comments, you know, talking about how, you know, real he is with them and how the stuff that he tells to us is pretty similar. He might use different words, different language, a different tone. Yeah. A different tone. There may be a little bit of elevation, a little crescendo, if you will, in the voice from Ben Johnson. But for the most part, things are starting to sync up in that locker room. And again, that's clue number, you know, 47, that Ben Johnson knew everything that was going on previously in this organization. You know, he can kind of cry the, hey, that's not on me. I wasn't here. He knows. Mm-hmm. He was briefed on the things didn't go well. You know, the hope is that everybody, and even in his demeanor at the lectern, and I'm sure other coaches have been coached, so to speak, you know, about what is to come and what they're going to have to deal with. It feels like this coach is taking his media coaching seriously as well.
And he's just natural with it too, which is nice to see.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Let us get into our best bet segment. The best bet segment is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. And now, the executive producer of the Take the North podcast, the married man, he is Adam Sadinski. By the way, you will be referred to as the married man for as long as you're married. For as long, and I hope it's for.
Thank you. I guess I can't. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I just like it. You're the married man, and now you have a best bet for us, don't you?
Right. So, like we've been doing here. By the way, if you bet the over on both of our bets last week, then they both hit. So we've been pretty good with these this year. So I got two separate ones that we're going to do here. And the first one has to do with the running game, which I know you guys have been highlighting, the running game for both teams. So Jacory Croskett merits over under rushing yards. We can just call him Bill from now on because that name is long. Bill's rushing yard prop is at 63.5, over under 63.5 yards. And the lines for that are -114 either way. So bet an over or under, it's -114. There's also DeAndre Swift's rushing total, which is 48.5. Same odds, -114. So what do you guys think?
Man. I'll start here, Grody, and I'm going to go over on both of them for two different reasons. The first reason why I would take old Bill Merritt to go over 63.5 rushing yards is because the Bears haven't stopped anybody on the ground yet. Until they do, I want to see it to believe it. And so I think the Commanders can get that run game established and they can get their rookie running back, by the way, who was picked, I think, 12 picks behind Kyle Manungai late on Saturday in round seven.
Yep.
He was able to get going. So I'll take that. And then with Swift, I just think that the Bears are going to be really hell-bent on showing that they have fixes to their running game. And so they're going to dedicate themselves to getting DeAndre Swift unlocked in this game. Hopefully he breaks a chunk run or two that gets that total within reach pretty quickly. But I'll take the over on both of those.
The Bears have shown us absolutely nothing to think that they can stop a running back. And I get it. Yes, Kyler Gordon probably is going to be back. TJ Edwards probably going to be back. So you do have to add that into the equation. But I will take the over on Jacory Croskett Merritt as well. Was it 240 total rushing yards that they gave up against Ashton Gentry and the Raiders when last we saw them playing against a poor – ladies and gentlemen, that's a bad offensive line that the Raiders have. And maybe the light came on for them. I don't know. So I just don't see any way around that. So the over on him, what was the number again, studs, on DeAndre Swift? Was it 48?
48.5. So he's got to hit the 49 for the over.
Good God.
And by the way, just so we're aware, here's been his rushing totals for the season so far. 53 against the Vikings, 63 against the Lions, 33 against the Cowboys, 38 against the Raiders.
All right.
So he's only hit He's only hit 50 twice, basically.
It hasn't gotten to 200 for the season yet, which is alarming.
Okay, it is alarming. I am going to say, I am going to go the over on that. And this is having faith in Ben Johnson, who says he's worked more with the running game than he has with the passing game. And clearly, you know, we talked about this last time we were on, the transparency on how he is thinking it is the blocking more than it is his personnel. And maybe he's just protecting DeAndre Swift because he knows that that's all he has. Plus, he had that big run last year against Washington. So I'm going to give the kid the over, DeAndre Swift, who's actually a veteran.
I'm going to take the over for both as well, for all the reasons that you guys have said. And I'm going to throw this out there just as a fun addition. And I don't know if we'll be able to do this every week, but I put a parlay together that our listeners can do if they want. And what I did is I did the over on Bill's rushing yards, the over on Swift's rushing yards. And I threw in there a little sprinkle, a Roma Dunze anytime touchdown. As we all know, he's scored in every game this year. So those odds come out to, it's a three-leg parlay, which is a pretty common parlay. Three-leg parlay, the odds on that come out to plus 784. Woo. And I actually like the odds of this hitting. So that's a nice little payday if you get that to hit. So again, a Rome anytime touchdown, the over on Bill's rushing yards, and the over on DeAndre Swift's rushing yards, and that gets you your three-game parlay, three-leg parlay on FanDuel Sportsbook. I'm just throwing it out there. Just throwing it out there. I would put a sprinkle on that.
A few hundred dollars there, Studs, and you may have paid for your honeymoon.
Exactly.
That's what I'm trying to do. That's what I'm trying to do. You know what we call that? That's a Bob and Meyer. When you do something like that. That's a Bob.
What are the odds this week for Bob and Meyer to get another kick blocked for the Raiders?
we can look that up. We can look that up.
Yeah, what's the odds of Bob and Meyer being an ambassador for the Bears by the time the season ends? Let's look that up. All right. Prediction time. Weedsy, we're going to start with you. Prediction for Bears Washington on Monday Night Football in the nation's capital.
I'm conflicted because I don't feel great about this matchup. I really don't. I think the Bears are going to have a difficult time with the Commanders. But we sat here in early September and we made our predictions for signature win of the season. And I said that this trip to Washington on Monday Night stage was going to produce the signature win of the Bears season. And I can't back down to that. I cannot let our audience down and back down from that now. So I'm going Bears 24, Commanders 23. I don't know how the game's going to end. It can't be quite as exciting as it was a year ago. But it's a one-point victory for the Chicago Bears.
Wow. 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 Dan, I agree with you 100%. I was right with you on that day we did the predictions. You and I were both thinking the same thing, signature win, because they have to win this game. But guess what? I am not sticking with my prediction from the beginning of the season. I do not feel good about this game either. I don't think the Bears are going to get pantsed or anything like that, but I am picking Washington to win this game over the Bears 31-24. Seeing Jaden Daniels come back to form in that Chargers game, looks like he's fully healthy, 231, the TD and no picks in that game. I fear that they're going to be on, Debo Samuel, not quite the same powers he once had, but I do think that Washington wins that game.
Mark Grody's revised prediction brought to you by Waffle House.
Revised. Yes.
Probably a smart revision, to be honest.
Yeah, I didn't like doing it, but I was thinking about it today and I'm like, God, if they make me do a pick on the score, which was early, which we didn't end up doing, I was like, I can't pick the Bears.
Clear-minded. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Studs.
Actually, the best bet segment was brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. I actually have had a lot going on today, so I haven't been able to overly think about my prediction. I'm just going to say the Bears are going to win, and everyone's going to have a happy day. That's all I'm going to say.
I like it. I hope it's a happy day for all. I do. Dan, anything else before we get the heck out of here after our 390th episode?
Yeah, I got two last things to punctuate this episode with. Number one is the last time that Ben Johnson faced the Commanders was his last game as the Lions offensive coordinator. I think it's notable that Ben Johnson put up 521 yards in that game. Lions had four touchdowns, a field goal, and five turnovers in that game, which cost them a chance to make a run at the Super Bowl. But I think it's interesting that Ben has had success against that Commanders defense. It should be somewhat instructive there. Any thoughts on that? And then I'm going
to
give you one.
Yeah, no, that was brought up to him. He certainly did downplay that. I mean, he seemed like he was happy to talk about it. He did mention the turnovers that they had had in that game, but I do think that's a handy little thing to keep in your back pocket, and knowing that he knows some ways to exploit that team. Different personnel is always the disclaimer.
All right, I have one shout out here to end the episode with. Because Thursday was a little bit of an off day from Halas Hall, it allowed yours truly to sneak out to a golf course out at White Deer Run. And I played with good friend Sam Incandela, who, to give a Bears tie to this program, used to coach Matt Nagy's kids in baseball when they were living here in the Chicago area. Sam Incandela made a birdie on the 16th hole, followed by an eagle on the 17th hole. Grody, what an explosive 25 minutes of golf out there at White Deer Run. I had to give Sam a shout out. I told him as I was leaving the course, he's going to get a shout out on the podcast. Here it is, Sam. Congratulations. A privilege watching that round unfold.
Way to go, Incandela. Very, very proud of you. And it's good to hear about golf because we're about to lose it. We're getting into those months.
This might have been the last round.
It's very possible. Shout out to everybody. Shout out to all of our Take the North listeners and viewers. You have no idea how much we appreciate you, and we love doing this podcast. For Dan Wiederer of The Athletic and of The Score, for Adam Studzinski, the executive producer of the Take the North podcast and producing Cubs games left and right, I am Mark Grody saying again, thank you for listening to and watching the Take the North podcast.
Great talk. See you out there.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.
670 The Score's Mullinghaw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he is here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullinghaw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.